Well, this morning, I want to continue on with what I spoke last week, but God's put in my heart to kind of go over some stuff because there's some of you weren't here last week or didn't get the message, and I believe it's so timely, it's so heavenly, it's so relevant, it's going to change you forever, that I'm going to repeat a few things. I'm going to go quickly, and I want to get into what I want to share this morning, but the title this morning is The Seed, Sowing, and the Ground. The Seed, Sowing, and the Ground. This is part two. It's June 29, 2014. And like we said last week, and I'm just going to highlight a few things and go over some of the scriptures last week because I want to build a little foundation for you, is that I said last week that we as people focus way too much on the devil. The devil did this, the devil did that, the devil did this. And the Bible shows me that the devil didn't create my issues, I do. The reason why I have issues in my life is not because the devil. I'm going to have to take personal responsibility, like America hasn't recently, and start to learn to take responsibility that the reason why I'm in the condition I'm in, the reason why I am where I'm at, the reason why I am the way I am is because it's about me. I made those choices. I made those decisions. And the reason why I have is what I have is because of what I've done. Because the Bible says out of our heart springs the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23 said this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Huh. So the issues you have in life come from your heart because there's something been deposited in your heart that came from your ears that you heard or something that you seen and got deposited in your heart, which is about 18 inches away. And then what comes out of your heart, your mouth speaks, and then you have the issues of life. I can fix my life when I fix my heart because the issues start in my heart. In order to fix the things around me, I need to fix the things inside of me first. What's happening around you is what has happened inside of you first. So we're going to take a look at the Bible, and here I want to just kind of recover from last week of what we talked about so that you can get an understanding of where I'm going to go with this, because it's important that you understand about your heart, because your heart is soil, and the soil of any soil is neutral, and whatever you put into that soil, whatever that seed is, something's going to birth out of that. Amen? So the Bible says in Matthew 13:1, the Bible says this, and we've probably read the scripture 100 times, but there's some things I want to point out to you so that you get it this morning, and I think you're going to walk out of here different than the way you walked in. Matthew 13:1, it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him. So he got into a boat and sat, and the multitude stood on the shore. Let me stop and say this. Jesus separated himself from the crowd. Uh-oh. Then he spoke these things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places, and they didn't have too much earth, and they immediately sprang up, and because they had no depth of earth, but when the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears hear, and let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? Do you notice that some fell on good ground and yielded 100-fold, a 60-fold, a 30-fold? God wants to give you the 100-fold up front. So he starts off with 100-fold. But some got 60, some got 30. Because of the choices that we make, we kind of disqualify ourselves from all the blessings that God. You're still blessed, but God wants to give you it all. And he gives it to you up front. He says 100. Because I used to read, he gave me a 30, 60, 100. He's increasing me. No. He's already given you everything you want. I've given you all that you need. But if you don't want to do some things and you know what, you just want to sin and do the craziness of your life, then you might lose out on some of this stuff. Did you get that Jesus spoke in parables? Parables were stories or code. What Jesus did, he veiled the word because he didn't want everybody to hear it. Wait a minute. Why would Jesus do it? There's certain groups he wanted to hear it and certain groups that will never get it. You ever been to places where the crowd draws or somebody comes because there's something free or they want to be entertained? And then there's some that really come for the Word of God. Those are those that come to Spirit Life Christian Church. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, Jesus loves everybody the same. Touch your other neighbor and say, Jesus loves everybody the same. Now, see, I say that because what I'm right about to say next to you, I said last week, and I know it, you're going to go, whoa. The Bible says that Jesus loves everybody the same. That's a true statement. But not everybody loves Jesus the same. So when you don't love Jesus the same, you know, like the Sadducees or the Pharisees or those people you know that don't like, the, you know, when you start talking about Jesus. So you can talk about God all day long, but when you start to talk about Jesus, it separates eggs. You know what I'm saying? So the kingdom of God is not how much Jesus loves you. It's how much do you love him. And he's only going to share with those that love him, those that are close. I don't share everything with you that I share with my wife or I would share with my kids because I'm close to them, right? I want to share everything with them. Why? Because they love me. I love them, they love me. I love them so much just like Jesus loved, but they send that same love back to me. So I'm going to draw close to that, and I'm going to share intimate details, plans. Matthew 13:10 says this, and the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and to him and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull." Not in Haiti they haven't. But in America. "And their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it." What Jesus is saying here is that not everybody wants what he's saying. Not everybody wants to hear the word and do the word. They just want to gather together and kind of have like a club. We're going to hang out. But the kingdom of God is based upon people that have a hunger for God. The kingdom of God opens up your wealth, your health, your businesses, your family. This morning the question is, are you hungry for the things of Jesus? I'm going somewhere this morning, and I'm just kind of burning through this part because I want to get somewhere. I want to just lay this foundation. Matthew 6:33 says this, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." What's he leaving out? So he's going to give you everything that you need if you seek the kingdom of God. Not seek the flesh, not seek what I want, not driving the, I have to have a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce or have a garage full of them and have 19 houses. That's not what he said. Seek the kingdom of God first. In other words, start to understand my principle that there's a seed, there's sowing, and there's ground. If you get that, then you're going to get the understanding of how the kingdom of God works. See, if we focus on Jesus and pursue the kingdom of God, then we get Jesus' peace, his righteousness, and joy, and all the things that we need. And take a look at Romans 14:17. Romans 14, 17. This is just from last week. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I said last week, amen means so be it. So you ought to shout amen when you're in agreement with the word, because when two or more are gathered in his name and they're in agreement, it's like touching heaven and bringing it down on earth. I like that. Truth goes forth when you agree and the power manifests itself. Let me continue with the story, Matthew 13, 18. Because see, now that you see that there is an us and there is a them in the Bible. Not that God's decided it to be that way, but people choose it to be that way. This is an us church. We're all about Jesus. Amen? This ain't about me. This ain't about having my name in lights. It isn't about being on TBN or speaking in front of 50 million people. It's never been. It's about touching people's lives, getting them the word, empowering them. It's like having a car but not having the keys to start it up. I want to give you the keys, the gas full tank, because that's the God that we serve. Not 60% or 30%, but he fills it all the way up. Amen. So it overflows in your life and blesses everybody else around you. Matthew 13, 18, it says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received by the wayside. Say, wayside Christian. Okay. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet it has no root in himself, but endures for a while, for the tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. Immediately he stumbles. Say, shallow Christian. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and they become unfruitful. Say, distracted Christian. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bear fruits and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. There's the wayside Christian, the stony places is the shallow Christians, and there's the thorns, and the seed gets in there, and those are the distractors. They're all Christians, and you know those type of people. But they're never living in the harvest and the full potential that is already theirs. They live in the 30-fold and the 60-fold, but they never get to the 100-fold, and then they blame God why things ain't working out. Uh-oh. If there is something you want, there is a seed for it. Uh-oh. Pastor, you're breaking my theology up. See, we're good at praying and shouting for the end result. Lord, I got cancer. I need you to heal it. Boom. Come on, Jesus. Help me out. But we don't like much when we pray for something and he gives you a scripture and verse for it. He gives you a seed for it. And in that seed has what you need. And see, we don't thank him like we thanked him when we got the instant result. Or the money came just in time and it was now. But sometimes God will make you give you a seed, and we should be thanking him just as much when we get the seed. Because now it puts the onus on us. And if you trust him and you plant the seed in the right ground, not in the wayside, not in the stony ground, not somewhere where it's going to get eaten up by the thorns, but if you put it in the good ground, come on now. So I'm learning to pray for more seed so I can deposit the seed in my good ground of my heart, because the Bible says out of the heart springs the issues of life. And sometimes the devil likes to plant some seeds so that it rises with the seed that God's given you to try to choke it out. But sometimes God allows that seed to be with the other seed because he wants to show the devil how much powerful he is. than that seed that was placed in you by Him. See, we like to pray for the end result, but, you know, we want to pray for the healing. But when He gives you the chapter and verse to stand on, and you might have to stand on it for a week, a month, a year, you need to understand the seed is the identity. What's in that seed is what's going to come. The ground doesn't matter where it's planted. You know, soil has neutral. So if you want to plant, you know, corn, or you want to plant eggplant, or you want to plant, the ground is neutral. It's going to grow whatever in it. The ground is only there to push forth what's inside the seed. Uh-oh. So when you plant the seed, the Word of God, the seed into your heart, and the soil starts to push it out, you'll get that about noontime. God wants you to plant the seed of His Word in your heart. That's good ground, so that the issues of life don't choke you out. The only thing you got to do is get the seed from where you're at to fall into the right place. Now, I'm going to say something, and you might not like this. I have seen pastors and ministers and bishops and apostles and all different denominations and all this stuff. I've been around doing this pastor stuff for a while. I've been doing, I've been to many churches. It doesn't matter if they're Baptist or Catholic or Methodist or Southern Baptist or Pentecostal or AG. This, I'm going to tell you, I've seen some craziness at the pulpit. I've heard the word spoken where, you know, if you just stand on 1 foot, brother, and you turn around 3 times, all the windows of heaven's going to open and you're going to have a financial. I was looking for that in the Bible. I could not find that. God doesn't make you do crazy stuff. If you, I believe God's telling someone they need to sow a seed for $1,000. And if you stand on 1 foot and you turn around, all you're going to have is one ankle that's going to be a little bit more muscle than the other one when you do that. Amen? Jesus doesn't do gimmicks. Jesus said, I gave you a seed. And if you plant the seed in good ground, all you have to do is let it drop in the right soil and tend to it. The rest will come about. The seed in the right ground will manifest. It will obey the word. God watches over the word. And He's not going to allow anything to happen to that word. So He's going to, as long as you deposit that word in the good ground, you're going to have what's inside that seed, that identity of God. Whatever is in there for you. Oh, Pastor. Seed. Sowing ground. The place where heavenly things reside is called the kingdom. God will bless me with every spiritual blessing. We've heard that. And we go, oh, that's great, Pastor. Take a look at Ephesians 1, verse 2. Ephesians 1, verse 2. It says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. And I looked at that scripture and I went, that's pretty good stuff, Lord. But, you know, I got bills to pay. I got rent to pay. I need some food on my table. How do I tap in from the heavenly realm where I can have it all? And how do I get this to come into my life on the earthly realm? Because right now, I have dual citizenship. I am a child of the Most High God, and I am heavenly. I have my connection in heaven. Amen. I got dual citizenship. But I'm on earth right now, and it really doesn't do me any good when I can't get my stuff from heaven onto this earth because I got some stuff that needs to get done. So then people give up on God because they don't understand the principle about seed sowing in the ground. So I'm going to help you this morning tie this all in. We tap into it. In the heaven, we are a spirit in nature. Amen? The Word is spirit, and God is spirit. The Word is made out of the same stuff that God is made out of. The Old Testament, Jesus was referred to as the Word. The Word went here and the Word went there. There is a place of transfer where the spiritual realm and the natural realm kind of connect. Do you know where that takes place? In your heart. The issues of life come and stem from your heart. So if I want to get the things from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm, I got to take the Word of God and I got to start getting that Word from God and start planting that into my heart, which is good soil. So it eradicates all those bad things that I've had in me. Amen. And then God will begin to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings more than you can contain. It's your heart is the place where it transfers from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. That's why you need the soil of your heart to be uncontaminated so that you can get the best growth. It's like if you had, when I'm planting, I planted trees in my backyard, these bougainvillea plants or something. They're different colors and stuff, and I can't even pronounce them, but whatever. And the guy says, use this special soil because it'll grow quicker. And if you're smart, you put a little bit of Miracle-Gro, and that Miracle-Gro kind of wipes out all the contaminants of the regular and just makes the soil richer. Huh. Kind of like God wants to do for us. He wants us to make us richer. I'm not saying just financially, but he wants your family blessed and your kids blessed and your neighbors blessed and everybody you come into blessed. Amen? See, in the heart is like soil, and you need to understand something. The heart has the force to push what's in the natural realm from the spiritual realm. The enemy tries to plant seed in your heart so that it'll come out. And that's the reason why a lot of us deal with a lot of things, because there's been a lot of things placed in by the devil through a whole bunch of time that eventually comes out and it chokes out some of the things that the Word was supposed to take place in. You know, when you're hanging out at the strip clubs and or looking at pornography and those seeds got planted in, and then, everything is going good, and then all of a sudden you backslide because you got drunk, because that seed broke the ground and come on now. I'm just trying to keep it real. And then we blame the devil, though. We're good. It was the devil made me do it. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, the only devil I see is the one in the mirror. Because nobody wants to take personal responsibility. The reason why I have so much debt is because I charged it all up, but I want to blame somebody else. It's the credit cards company because they gave me those cards and made me use them. Really? You're qualified for $400,000 house. You won't be able to eat nothing but macaroni and cheese on that. But you can buy that house, and then you're complaining the whole time. Well, look what the Lord has done. He gave me this house, and all of a sudden, you can't afford it. Because you got greedy, and you wanted to impress somebody else, and you wanted to show off. Look what the Lord has done. And you know it wasn't God that did that. And then you say, well, the devil made me do it. And you start blaming, but you don't ever look in the mirror. Everything that comes out of your life was already inside your life in a seed. It just came forth. See, your heart is powerful. If you get the right seed at the right place, then the soil will push out what's inside of that seed. The soil pushes out the life that is in the seed. The ground is neutral. The seed determines the identity. If I plant a tomato plant seed, I'm not getting a mushroom. I'm getting a tomato. If I plant an apple tree seed, an apple seed, I'm going to get an apple tree. I'm not going to get an orange grove. The seed carries its identity. What God has dropped in the soil of your heart, God is going to bring the harvest. If you put some new seed, you get a new harvest. God wants to bless you. God wants to have your territory enlarged. Think about this for a minute. There were those that Jesus preached to. He went on to the boat to get away from them, but he spread the word because he didn't want to give all the good stuff away. Because some people just come to take and never give. Some people come so they can try to see if I can get something on that person. Some people come for the free breakfast, or they come for the handout, or the free t-shirt. And God's so much better than that. He says, I'm not giving my good stuff away to them. Those that really want me will get hungry for me and they'll find me. So those that are us and there are them, and it's not that God doesn't love them anymore, because God loves them all the same. It's that they don't love God. They don't love Jesus like we love them. Jesus breaks that scripture out about the seed, the wayward people, the wayward Christians. They're still Christians. Thank God they are. Some are shallow. Some are distracted. But God already has given you a complete harvest. So God shows the disciples, they ask, hey, Jesus, you broke out this parable. None of them really got it, but, you know, we're your inside 12, man. We're the, we family. Can you break this down for us? Because we ain't getting it. So he breaks the parable down for them to understand it. They get the word. They went to class. They took the class. They went to the assignment. He spent hours training people, and then he brings them aside, spends some time, breaks the word down for them like we just did, and he says, now I'm going to give you a test on what you just studied. So later that evening, this is so awesome how God works things out. Take a look at Mark 4, verse 35, and then I'm going to close. Probably three times. I'm going to close. So Jesus goes on this boat ride, he teaches them all, tells them about the parable of the sow and the sower and the seed and the harvest and the hundredfold, the 60-fold, and he gives them the teaching, and then he breaks it down for the students, those that hunger for God are willing to give up something. I mean, you think about the disciples, they gave up their businesses and their fishing businesses and their accounting plans, and they did it to follow Jesus. It cost them something. It cost us something to send the kids to Haiti to go make a difference in somebody else's life, but we turned Haiti upside down. We weren't there personally, but we were part of that blessing. We were part of those souls that got saved. We were part of those people that got healed. My daughter had to go and sacrifice a 12-hour plane ride with Matthew, and they had to go there, and then they had to go in the heat where there's no air conditioning. Praise God that they went. And they got the word. See, the disciples got the word. They figured it all out. And Jesus says, now I'm going to take what you just learned and we're going to put it in real life. We're going to have application time. Because it ain't no good just to know it and not use it. Don't give me a house and not give me the keys to get in it. Mark 4, verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Let me stop there for a second. When Jesus says we're going to go to the other side, he didn't say how he's going to get there. He said we're going to get to the other side. There may be some tests, there may be some trials, there may be some stuff we're going to go through, but when Jesus said we're going to go to the other side, we're going to get to the other side. I don't know if you remember E.F. Hutton, but when E.F. Hutton spoke, people listened. I don't know whoever E.F. Hutton was, but my parents used to tell me that all the time. They'd say something about Carter and pills. I don't know what that meant either, but praise God. So Jesus said, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Now, Jesus was with these guys. He was hanging with them. He just taught them about parables. He unveiled the word. He told them the secret. He showed them it all. And then all of a sudden, they get in the boat. They're going to go to the other side. And it says in verse 36, so they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Sometimes there's some people in your life that are trying to drag you down and drown you that don't really want the word, but they're going to talk like they're like a Christian, but they really don't want to do anything that will cost them anything. Oh, I have to give at the church, or I have to go participate, or I got to go give them my talent or time. You know, I'm a professional musician, and if I'm going to go practice at that church and give them any time in praise and worship, I need $100 for that 20 minutes that I'm going to do that. Really? Okay. It's the wrong church for you. Because, see, some people are followers. They just want to follow a crowd. They want to hang and associate. But you know, they really don't want to do anything. Mike Tyson found that out. He had all these people there on the bankroll. He had all these friends. I had this entourage of people. And at the end of the day, he's broke. One of the greatest boxers in the world. So make sure you feed him. The big boy. So they leave the crowd behind, although other boats followed. Those were those that were still hungry for Jesus. But soon, a fierce storm came up, and high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion, and the disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and then there was a great calm. And when they asked him, he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I just told you about the seed, sowing, and the ground. I all broke it down that you already got the 100-fold, but if you don't want to listen, maybe you get to 60, or maybe you only get to 30, but I've already offered you everything I got." God offered everything that he had to come on this earth to fix Adam's mess up, to be the second Adam, to come and die on a cross for all mankind, for all sickness, all disease, for all spiritual blessings. And these guys get in the boat with Jesus, and all of a sudden there's water filling the boat, and they're like, "What are you going to do?" The enemy came to choke out. The enemy came where there was shallow ground. The enemy came when it fell on the wayward side. See the coincidences there? Sometimes there's going to be a little rain on your parade, but don't doubt the word that God gave you. He laid out the system. Seed, sowing, ground. Disciples missed it. God don't want you to miss it. God wants me to let you know that there's seed, sowing, ground. That's the way the kingdom thing is done. Kingdom is not for everybody. It's for those that want to pull back the veil, for those that want to spend a little time alone with God. It's for those that want to do something for the kingdom of God. It's for those that are hurting but they need a little help. Those are that don't have anything but they want to give. And the winds came. You only feel wind at your face because you're moving forward. Wind's blowing at my face. That means I'm doing something. Oh, the wind's blowing. Oh, I'm getting some ops. I'm getting a little bit. Oh, you know, the devils in hell are getting mad at me right now. I'm moving forward. I feel a little bit of breeze coming on me. A little wind, a little turbulence. It must mean I'm moving in the right direction. I'm not being blown back. I'm just pushing forward. Why? Because he gave me the seed. I already put it in good ground. And the devil in hell ain't going to take what I got. Jesus said, "We're going to go to the other side." He just didn't tell them how they're going to arrive. Your hair might be a little windblown. You might have lost a couple things, but God's going to restore it. God's given you enough seed in the sack that he's allowed you to plant it in your heart, and these things are going to come in different seasons. Not all plants grow at the same pace. Some seeds take a little longer. Sometimes the seed of a bonsai plant, I understand, takes a couple years before you haven't seen anything. I'd be watering and saying, "What do you mean? There's nothing coming." I mean, I'm one of those. I'm the guy that goes to McDonald's and the 90-second clock's up, and I'm saying, "Why isn't my food here? I've been waiting 90 seconds. You said I could have it my way. I want it now." You've been there. See, you laughing, but you know that's you. Different seed grows at different times. I got these plants and I bought different plants. And I put all the same dirt in the soil and the green thumb stuff, because I don't have a green thumb. And I put all this stuff in there and I planted all these plants at the same time. Some of them are taking off like rockets and some have a real slow growth, but they're growing wider, or they're not growing tall, and you don't see that much growth in them. But you know, it's not their time to grow yet. The seed's in it, but the identity hasn't broken forth yet. Amen. See, the seed in your heart will break the ground of the soil, and it will take life. You got to understand something. Some of us have sown bad seed in our lives. Some of us have been given some, have made some poor choices and bad decisions. It was inside of us, and now it's coming forth. We're just reaping what we sowed. The world calls it karma. It's a bear to get that back. You mistreated those seven people, guess what? It'll come back to you. Amen. That's why I treat my mom and dad good. Amen. They treated me good. Why? Because they know I'll put you right in a nursing home right now. Treat me bad. She's in the back, so she's looking at me. No, you ain't. I'll come visit you once a year. We'll go on one of those bus rides over to the, you know, place that we'll go shopping. No. Make sure parents, kids, you treat your parents good. Someday you're going to be old. And you might need some help. Amen. And it's nice to have some help when you're older. Amen. As I'm getting older, I need some help, like the grass cut and the floors done. Amen. Just kidding, son. Garage clean, tools picked up. No. What's in your heart? The Bible says in Proverbs that it's gonna. If the issues of life stem from the heart, we gotta put good word, the promises of God. We gotta put that seed of the word, because then we're gonna identify with Jesus. God has already placed some good word in you. And your season is coming. You haven't seen it break the ground yet, because God's been doing some stuff underground. He needed to make sure that the support system was in place before it comes up, because there's going to be winds and tests and trials and storms, and the wind's going to blow. But one thing you have is you got Jesus in the boat with you. And if he says you're going to go to the other side, bank on it. You're going to the other side. You got the seed of God in you. You're going to go to the other side. When you got Jesus in your boat and you got the seed of God and he's given you that seed and it's in your soil, then the issues of life, guess what good issues are going to come for? The hundredfold's coming my way. Why? Because I got that seed being planted that says a hundredfold's coming my way. I've had some 30. I had some 60. But I sure truly love the hundredfold. Amen. Don't make excuses for it, that my kids are blessed and they serve Jesus and they talk about the Lord and people get saved and that they get the good job that they get hired for and they look like they have no experience, but they're hard workers and they love Jesus. It's the favor of God that's upon them. It's not because I'm a pastor. It works for everybody who applies the word. Jesus loves everybody the same. Not everybody loves Jesus the same. And the more that you love him, and the more that you get in conjunction and you hang with him, and the more that you spend in the word, the stuff that the devil has placed in you when you were a little kid all the way to you were in your 20s, God will start taking those seeds that are going to choke you out, and he allows it to grow at the same time, and then he plucks it. And then you don't have that friend anymore that you used to hang with, that used to do that stuff. And now you got some new friends, some new associate. God's the great gardener, man. Wind and tests and storms are going to come your way. But as long as the seed is in good ground, deeply rooted, guess what happens? It's going to come forth. You have the word. You have the seed. God wants to get it done in your life. All you have to do is allow that seed to fall into the ground where God wants you to plant it. It's that simple. It's not a formula of I'm going to step on my feet and turn around, do the hokey pokey in and out. All that craziness that ministers do and pastors do. It's good church and it's a lot of fun, but it don't get it done. You walk around on a hype and then you leave still the same way. I don't know how to tap into God. I still don't know how to pay my bill. I still don't know how to get it done. And people teach that, and they teach about prosperity, and everybody in the church is broke, you know, except for the pastor, you know. I want to give you the secret that I've learned. And then God opens my eyes. I've read the scripture 100 times. At least. But I've never seen it in this light. God does give it to us. Those that are hungry, those that love him. Those that don't love him, it's not that he doesn't love them, but, you know, You can't love somebody if you don't want to love them. You can pray about it. You can do everything. You can buy them this, that. You can do everything. But if they don't love you, they don't love. They don't return that love back. You can't, you know. You get disqualified. You move yourself out of the will or the executor's mansion because you choose not to want to do it his way. Simple. Seed, sowing, ground. He'll give you the seed. He'll tell you where to plant it so you don't make any mistakes. Sometimes you might have to sow it into another ministry that you've been saving. Sometimes you have to sow it into something. There's sometimes I've been saving up for something, and God will say, you need to go sow that in that place. I'm like, but Lord, I've been saving up $500 for that, for something that I wanted. I says, yeah, but if you want to get what I have for you, you sow it in this person because what they're going to get, they're going to get blessed because that's good ground. And guess what? I'm going to take care of the thing you need. Somehow, some way, miraculously, God will have someone come and say, I got this deal for you, or I got this, or I want to bless you. God told me to give you this. Huh? How did you know? Well, because I'm sowing in the good ground. And if I don't sow this in your life, then I'm not going to get what I've been trying to that God showed me that I need. Blessed to be a blessing. You're a conduit so you can get it to somebody else. God's the source. Everything else is a resource. Come on. All you got is some seed. You got to sow it in good ground because the issues of life, the things spring out of the issues of life. The reason why you're at where you're at is because you planted those seeds. Don't blame the devil. Blame yourself. Take responsibility and go plant some good seed. Go ahead and take that ground and tear it up a little bit. Go repent. Say, Lord, I messed this up. I do it all the time. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Help me. Maybe there's people you're hanging with that you need to cut off because they're dragging you down. They're telling you all the right things, but in the back they're the ones saying you'll never amount to nothing. You'll never finish college. Nobody in your house ever did. But you don't know the house of God that I serve. You don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords like I do. You don't know that the seed that he put in me. I have the identity of Jesus Christ inside. I've got the same DNA. I got the same blood that flowed through Jesus, flows through me, and flows through you. It's available hundredfold, 60-fold, 30-fold. How much do you love him? How much are you willing to give of your time and your talent and your effort and your finances? Are you willing to spend an extra hour? I know you're tired. And spend a half hour reading the Bible with Jesus. Have him show you something. I didn't say you had to read the whole Bible in a year. That's great if you can do it. I'd rather have you understand 5 chapters of the Bible, master that, and get the promises from that, and then move to the next book. Amen? Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. Listen, I haven't mastered that whole book yet. That's why we're a work in progress. But if I look back where I was 11 years ago, if I look back where I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, and the issues of life caught up with me those times, and those things sprung forth because there's things that I did before I served Jesus, before Christ, that came growing up. The difference is I knew how to deal with it because I had the word growing right next to it so I could saw that off or God could pluck that out. And yes, it hurt for a momentary second. And it leaves a void and then to be filled with his word, with another seed. Another seed goes in. That ground they pluck up, they pull up all the cherries or they pull up all those strawberries and then they go and they plant new ones. They use the same soil. There was a vacancy and they put in another seed in it and it grows forth. God's just telling me to let you know that he wants you to plant more of his seed in your heart. Because what's in your heart, your mouth will confess. That's why there's only 18 inches from here to here. Amen? Watch what you're looking at. Make sure you're doing the right things. Listen to what God is telling you. Open up your ears. Isn't that what the Bible said? Open up your ears. Those who have ears, hear. Do half the amount of talking because you got twice the amount of ears. My wife always helps me with that. You don't need to get all 38,000 words out today. That counts speaking in tongues too? Amen. Seed, sowing, ground. God wants you blessed. There's not a magic formula. It's the kingdom formula. It works 100% of the time. You access everything from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm. There's a transaction that happens through your heart. When you give your heart to God, your life changes, you're different, you're no longer the same. The old stuff gets removed, a new man begins. Do you get how all this ties in together? It's just because there's a new seed, and the new seed needs some room. And he's a jealous God, and he needs to push out all the other junk that's been in your trunk. Because when the storms come, and they will, he promised you we will get to the other side. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless your people. And everything, Lord God, that was spoken, allow their ear gates, Lord God, to remain open. Let their eyes see the glory of God. And Lord God, let their heart, Lord God, take this word and let it be sown in the soil of their heart. For Lord God, the issues of life come from the heart. And Lord God, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. But Lord, we still have to live here. We still have to deal with things, Father God. We ask you, Lord God, as we sow the seed, Lord God, that we tap into the spiritual realm and bring it into the earthly realm. Whatever our needs are, whatever our desires are that are of God, that, Lord God, that you give us a seed for that need. And that, Lord God, we run with that seed. We put it in the good ground. That it's pressed down, shaken together, Lord God, and overflowing in our lives. I ask you, Lord God, to bless your people and everything that they do, everything they say, Father God. Allow them never to be the same. This morning, just for a second, if your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just for one moment. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you don't know him as Father, if you don't know him as your best friend, I'm not here to pick on you. I'm not here to join a church. I'm not here other than to help instruct you and let you know that Jesus loves you. And as your eyes are closed for a moment, your head's bowed, if you don't have a personal relationship, if you're not kinfolk with Jesus this morning, I invite you to raise your hand so I can pray with you and for you. If that's you this morning and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, I ask you to raise your hand so I can pray with you and for you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As your eyes are still closed and your head's bowed, it's simple as ABC. Jesus makes it simple. He just says, hey, you know, all you have to do is accept me as Lord of your life. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And then you confess that I've sinned. I've made some bad choices. I've made some wrong choices. I've done some things that weren't really pleasing to you, God. So this morning as a group, let's just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I accept you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over my life. Jesus, you're my Savior. I believe and trust in you. I confess this day all my sins, all my shortcomings, where I've blown it, where I've missed it, that today I am forgiven. Those things are gone. Those things are history. They're no longer in my trunk. You've already forgot them. You've already forgiven me. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, give the Lord a hand clap. Did you get anything this morning? I'm just here to teach. Not high step, not entertain. I just come to teach what God shows. He's got greatness in all of you. There is greatness
There is a seed of greatness in all of you. There's a seed that you can do more than you could even believe you can do. So I challenge you to just do it. The seed's been deposited in your heart. Do not allow anyone to try to rip it out or see if it's still there. Just trust and believe that God's got the foundation strong and firm in your life, and that sometimes it takes a little time to get what you need. Sometimes God has to rearrange some circumstances and situations and do some moving of mountains to get things in position just for you. But the seed is still growing. It's still taking up root. It's still, God has got greatness inside of you. Do not allow the world, your boss, your wife, your husband, your friends, your kids, anyone to try to rip that out for you. You are blessed coming in, and you're even more blessed going out. You're highly favored of God. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a king's kid, and you get kingdom privileges when you do it His way. You don't have to settle for the 30 or the 60. He's already outlaid to you the 100. He's given it all to you. All you got to do is tap in, reach it from the heavenly realm, bring it into the natural realm. People are going to talk about you. That's good. Let them talk about you. Let the devil squeal every time you wake up. Oh, they're getting up in the morning, they're going to pray. Oh, they're going to ask that Jesus something again, and their Father in heaven's going to have to answer them. Yes, He will, because that's what the Bible says. The Word is inside of you. It was made flesh. Go get it done for Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless your people. Lord, bless the food that we're going to eat. Lord God, allow us to get everything put in order and in place, Lord. And I ask you, Lord God, to bless the people that have come. I ask you, Lord God, to bless them, Lord. Let this be their best week ever, whatever they're seeking in the kingdom of God, that they shall find. Because, Lord God, you love them, but, Lord God, they also love you. Release all that you have in heaven, Lord God, into our lives today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.